We have been the last couple of weeks, and we'll continue to deal with God is enough to topple our idols. Today we're going to deal with an idol that I don't know about you, but I struggle with it, and that's physical pleasure. And our culture just goes right along with it. Our culture says, if it feels good, let's try that again. If it feels good, do it. God says if it feels good, it's probably not good. Back away. It all started with a piece of fruit. Now, this is an apple. This is a peach. Most of the time when we see Eve reaching for the forbidden fruit, it's an apple, right? I just don't want to hold it. I think it ought to be a savory peach myself. Now, most of you probably know, 45 years ago today, I married a Georgia peach. So today is our anniversary. And you know, and through our years, I know that you probably think a pastor and his wife, they never argue and they never fussed. We've had our battles. And I'm telling you, the battles that couples face, the battles that we see our children engaging in, it breaks our hearts sometimes because we see the destructive power. Eve was walking through a garden, a buffet. And she's been told you can have anything on the buffet line that you want, except one thing. One tree in the middle of the garden can't have that. Satan came up to her and Satan said, well, how are you doing? Are you full? Oh, yeah, I'm full. Have you tasted of the tree in the center of the garden? Well, no, God told me it's the best of all. It's going to be so good when you bite into it. Your taste buds will just jump in your mouth. Oh, and you need. And the Bible says she looked on it and saw that it would be pleasurable. And we know the rest of the story. How many times have you and I been enticed? And we have fallen into the snare, into the trap. Our culture says, if it feels good, do it. God says, if it feels good, stop and figure out what's it supposed to be. Because if it feels good, it can pull you in and entrap you and ensnare you. We're going to talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust for physical pleasure, because I'm telling you, it destroys lives, it destroys marriages, it can destroy countries, it definitely destroys self-esteem, because instead of being disciplined in our pleasures, we become undisciplined in our pleasures. And our pleasures become idols that zap us. John, one of the disciples of Jesus, the one that leaned on him at the Last Supper, the one that the Bible says that Jesus loved, he helps us better understand this battle that we're facing. And this is 1 John 2:15-16. He says, stop loving this evil world and all it offers for you. For when you love this world, you show that the love of the Father is not in you. And pay attention to this next. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and the pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. He says, these are from this evil world. And I have tried to think of temptation that doesn't fall in one of these three categories. I can't find it. It's either the lust for physical pleasure, it makes me feel good, or it's the lust for what we see, everybody else has one, or it's the pride in my possessions. I'm in charge here. I've had this position. You back away. They all fall in there somewhere. We're going to focus on physical pleasure. And if there's anybody here that doesn't think and applies to you, you're wrong, because it is innate within us. God gave us things to desire. What we have to do is learn how far we go with it. So with that, let me share a few thoughts here. Even good things can become idols. How many people here like food? Anybody here like food besides me? How many of you like a lot of food besides me? Food is good. If you're in the hospital sick, they're going to come to you and say, you need to eat, aren't they? No one's ever said that to me. My wife says, you need to not eat so much. So many good things got to get. One of the idols that we do face is food. In the Bible, it's called gluttony. No control over the food that is put before us. No discipline. Through the Holy Spirit, we are to be disciplined. We can say no to what we don't need and yes to what we do. The world tells us, and they are right, because of our undisciplined nature with food. So many of our children now are obese. We're just feeding them, feeding them, feeding them. And a startling epidemic that I am part of is type 2 diabetes. How many other people here honestly deal with this problem? Come on, slide your hand up. It's okay. All of you aren't honest, but that's okay. And you know what causes it? An unhealthy lifestyle. Too much putting the food in the mouth instead of going out for a walk. Food can be a problem. If you're sitting here in church today, and all you can think about is, where am I going for lunch? What am I going to eat? You got an issue. Let me give you three others quickly. Drugs. I don't care if they're illegal drugs, legal drugs, or alcohol. They're all addictive. I know that I have done over the last several years 4 funerals that had to do with drug overdoses. Three of them were actually overdoses, excuse me. 3 were overdoses, 1 was somebody murdered. Maybe 2 that were murdered because of drugs. It's destructive. It destroys families. And one of the things as parents we long and pray for, don't we, that our kids not get involved with this. Because it will suck in and it will destroy. When teenagers and young people get addicted to drugs, they steal. They steal from mom, they steal from dad, they steal from grandparents, anywhere they can go, because that physical pleasure, I need it. I need, and when you reach the point, I need, it's become an addiction. Entertainment. Oh, do we deal with it today? We can watch television on our phones. Isn't that a great thing? Wow. Unless you have to watch television on your phones. mother raising a son, saved her money up. She wanted to give him the desire of his heart. And she bought him, for his birthday, a new video game system. He had no idea it was coming. And he just gets ecstatic. Oh, Mama, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he just thanked her and thanked her and thanked her. Sets it up, begins to play. Next day she comes in and says, honey, we got to go to grandmother's. Not now. I'm playing. And every time she began to ask, she began to ask him about doing something. Leave me alone. I'm playing. And all of a sudden, the gift she gave begins to come back and bite her, because entertainment is addictive. Got to finish my show. Got to play my game. There's something it does in the brain with the Sean, what do you call those things in the brain that give pleasure? All right, did y'all catch this? He says it does something to the brain. It's not just, I'm having fun watching it, but it does something to the brain and it becomes an addiction. You need more of it and more of it and more of it. And parents, some of you have kids who are addicted. And cutting it off will not be easy, but it might save their life. Be careful. Fourth thing here, God gave a wonderful gift to husbands and wives called sex. It is for a husband and wife in the bonds of marriage and commitment to each other to love each other and enjoy each other and produce children. That's why God put it there. But if you turn on your television today, it's obvious that's not the way the world sees it. They see it as a pleasure for just anyone to enjoy at almost any time. Boy, does it destroy marriages. We're talking pornography. We're talking affairs. We're talking about a lust of the flesh so strong that it's all your mind thinks about. And it is destructive. It has led to every imaginable crime in this country. And it's not the way God intended it. Now, we sat there today, and I probably have touched on something that's impacted each of you. But I want to talk to you about how God says we get ourselves out of it. How do we topple the idols in our life? And some of us have tried, haven't we? How many people start diets on Monday? Because we started the diet, by the next Monday it's over. Because the lust of the flesh said, oh, you really want that, don't you? You really want it. Or you say, I'm not going to play the games tonight. But before you know it, the controller's in your hand. I'm going to control my thought life, and I'm not going to think about sex. And before you know it, you go to bed thinking about it and wake up thinking about it. It just begins to control you. John says, number two, but if you do sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. He is Jesus Christ. When we sin, not if we sin, but when we do sin. Only one has never sinned, that was Jesus. Back up to number one there. I was going to skip it, but I'm not going to. I was going to skip this. My time was getting away from me. Number one, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. And then he says, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. John, if you will read his gospel and his epistles, he almost sounds like a grandfather writing to you. He's very kind. He's very sweet in what he says. But here he says, stop loving this evil world that it offers you. And he's saying, stop it. If you feel like you've got a food addiction, at some point you've got to push away. Stop. If you've got an entertainment addiction, at some point you've got to turn it off. Stop. We get so caught up and we don't realize that we've been hooked and we're having trouble getting away from it. There's a, I'm going to show you in just a second, guys, not yet. How many of you have seen the movie, remember the movie, Fireproof? All right, good number of you have. Fireproof is about a captain in a local fire department and his wife and his battle of addictions. If you remember, he's got two. He wants to buy a big boat. Oh, he wants to buy a big boat. He's saving for the big boat. He's got his eye on this thing, the big boat, but his primary addiction is pornography. And it's destroying his marriage. It makes his wife feel like she has to compete with the images he's looking at on the computer screen. It makes her feel like something is wrong with her. Guys, that's what it does to our wives. And it does. It draws us in. It begins to mess with our head, begins to mess with our heart. It begins to distort the expectations a man has for his wife. His marriage is on the brinks. The love of his life is threatening to leave him. And she keeps pointing to this addiction. And he knows it has its hooks in him. See, this temptation leads to lust. Lust leads to sin. Sin leads to idolatry. At some point, at one time, he was on his computer looking at this big boat he wanted to buy. Then maybe it showed a couple of girls in swimsuits laying on the boat and said, want to see more? That's what we call temptation. We are all tempted by the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and the pride of life. But at some point, he said, well, what can it hurt to take a look? So he clicked. And all of a sudden, he likes what he sees. His body responds to it. And every time he goes to the computer, they know what you like. So they, would you like to look further? Would you like to look further? Temptation leads to lust, lust to sin, sin to idolatry. His marriage was being destroyed because instead of loving God and loving his wife, there was something else he was beginning to love and cherish and pursue. It can be food. It can be entertainment. It can be so pervasive in our life. It just becomes destructive in our life. He had to take drastic action, didn't he? Nothing else seemed to be working. But let me tell you, sometimes you got to take drastic action. Parents, you may have to say, the game comes out of your room. You may have a battle there, but you've got to do something. Maybe it's in your own life. Maybe you need to sell something. Maybe you need to, I don't know, but you know what it is. And oftentimes it's bringing in a friend and saying, I need an accountability partner. I've got a problem. We all battle them. And again, they're destructive. They will destroy our lives. They will destroy our family. First John 3, 5 and 8. Have we got this, guys? All right. He says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. He knows us pretty good, doesn't he? Have nothing to do with sexual sin. And by the way, most times in the Bible when it's talking about physical sin, it's talking about sexual sin. Impurity, lust, and shameful desires. But now is the time to get rid of anger. Outburst of anger never from God. Rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Then he says, don't be greedy for the good things of this life. For this is idolatry. Can I tell you where you don't want to stand on Sundays? After church, you don't want to stand between these doors in the kitchen. Because they all the leftover donuts and snacks, they put them out for people to get. And that lust of the flesh says, if I get there first, I may get one. It's not, I may not. The lust of the flesh will destroy. Let me tell you how he tells us what we do. Point number two, guys. But if you do sin, there's someone to plead for you before the Father. He is Jesus Christ. But if you sin, and all of us sin, when you sin, here's what happens. Maybe you've been walking with God and you're in good relationship with God and everything's going well. And a temptation comes up and you give in to it. You sever that intimate walk with God. You're now separated from God. He loves you. He's pulling at you. But he cannot be in the presence of sin. When we are separated from God, we call it death because we're not with him. When someone dies, it's death because we're not with them. When sin enters our life, we are separated from God. And the word tells us that the only remedy is to come to Jesus. Did you know a lot of people don't even know, don't even have any idea that they're dead in sin? They've been in it so long, they aren't aware of it. Remember the movie with movie Sixth Sense, Ginger, who starred in it? Who? Bruce who? Willis. He played a psychiatrist. And he was trying to help this boy who saw ghosts, remember? By the way, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. I'll tell you this, some of you have heard me share it. Our air conditioner went out in our house in the heat of summer several years ago. we decided to spend the night in the church office. The air stayed on there. So we can go sleep in the office. But before we went there, we decided to go to the movies and we watched Sixth Sense. And you know how sometimes the camera would take and pan and you would see ghosts? And, well, we go to the church, we drag a mattress up to the offices. And we get there and we're about to turn in. And I got to thinking, we propped open the doors at the back. Did we close the doors? So I decided I needed to walk back down that long hall, if you remember that long hall on Bruton. And I'm walking down the hall. And hey, have you ever been thinking about stuff like that and you're trying not to think about it? So you start whistling or singing or something like that. I'm not sure if I'm whistling or singing, but I'm definitely not looking in the rooms. And as I get to the very last room down there that used to be our church nursery for the daycare, about the time I got there, somebody stepped out. I hollered. When I hollered, it made him holler. It was the exterminator that comes in and sprays after hours when the kids aren't there. But it terrified me. He wasn't supposed to be there. But if you remember in the movie Sixth Sense, he's a psychiatrist trying to help this young man who sees these dead people. But before all this started, his home was broken into and he was shot. And what you find out at the end of the movie, he is one of the ghosts that the young boy's been seeing. He's dead. And he didn't even know he was dead. Jesus tells about people that will one day stand before the Father and tell him all the things that they've done. Jesus said, I'm going to tell them I didn't even know you. Guys, you can fool yourself and think everything's okay when it's not okay. You can think you're alive in Christ when you're dead to your sin, because your sin is your Lord. And God wants to be your Lord. It is a heart issue. Remember, God said, I will not share my affections with anyone. He wants you to love Him more than any other desire in your life. Boys, it can be anything. I'm tired. I'm going to skip church today. Well, guess who you just exalted to God? Your flesh. Supposed to be here worshiping God, but you're going to stay home, make your flesh feel a little bit better. It needs to tell us, and it does tell us a little bit about our hearts. Only Jesus. You can't do it yourself. Friends aren't going to help you. Can't help yourself. Jesus is the only one. When you cry out to Him, that's going to begin to bring you back to a place of redemption and strength and overcoming those addictions. And don't say it doesn't happen to anyone. No one's ever taken the first drink and thought, well, I'm going to become an alcoholic. You don't do that. Nobody ate that first piece of pie and thought, I'm going to be obese. It's my goal to be obese. Or clicked on that internet site and became a sexual addict. Nobody thinks it, but it happens. And I know that some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Third point, quickly. If we say that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What John is saying, simply put, quit saying, I have no sin. Quit pretending to be perfect. Acknowledge, I've got a problem. And then he says, if you confess it before God, He will forgive that sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and He restores you. He restores you to that position of a child of His. In that movie Fireproof, the local fire captain Caleb not only is battling addictions, he's also being encouraged by friends and family that your only hope is God. God is your only hope. You can't overcome it yourself. If you want to save your relationship with your wife, you've got to turn to God. Several experiences in his life begin to turn him. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. Events come into your life. Circumstances come along. And all of a sudden, you begin to think about God and what God can do in your life. And he has a transformation. He no longer is number one. The Lord is number one. But he has done such destructive work in his marriage. The question all the way through the movie is, can he do anything to restore this marriage? He did, without his wife knowing about it, take all the money he had saved up to buy a boat, to help buy medical equipment for her aging mother. But she was still so mad at him and so hurt by him. But he continues to pray. And you know, prayer does change people, doesn't it? Prayer changes our heart, and it changing the heart of others. I want to show you the final scene from the movie. Now, let me just set this up a second. Caleb knows nothing about it. The last time he talked with his wife, she still told him it's over. It's over. But he continued to pray, continued to love her. And this is the way the movie concludes.
Catherine?
If I haven't told you that you are a good man, you are. And if I haven't told you that I've forgiven you, I have. Told you that I love you. I do. Something has changed in you, Caleb. And I want what happened to you to happen to me.
It can.
Is it too late? To ask you to grow old with me.
So come back to the light, to the love you find. It's been here all along. So come
back. Interesting scene, or interesting fact in that movie, the final scene where he kisses his wife. This is his actual wife, is not the actress, because one of the commitments they made early on, as an actor, he made the commitment he would never kiss another woman. So the final scene is his actual wife. See, at some point, we have to ask for forgiveness. There is no other way. We can't just start trying to do better. When you ask for forgiveness, you acknowledge God of sin. When you ask for forgiveness, you acknowledge to God, I can't do this. And when you ask for forgiveness, you're lifting up His Son through whom forgiveness is given. It is our only hope. And wherever you're battling today, wherever the enemy assaults you first thing every morning, Jesus is the answer. Stand with me real quick. We're going to pray together. Father God, all of us here today, Lord, battle the flesh. Whether it's laziness and we don't want to do anything, or it's the food that we obsess over, or the games we can't let go. Father, help us. Help us, oh God. Help us to overcome that alcohol or drug addiction or sexual addiction. But God, in the name of Jesus, forgive us as we cry out with our sins to you and ask for help, Lord. Because when we are healthy, not only do we change our life, but we change our marriage. We change our children. That, Father, in and everything might be done through Christ. If you'd simply say, Pastor, pray for me that I turn from my sin and seek God. Not going to call you out by name. Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Anybody else? Be honest. Be honest before God. Father God, you see our hands, you know our hearts, and you know we need you, Lord. Forgive our sins as you promised, and restore us into that relationship with you. And Father, I would pray that you would give us that fortitude, that backbone, that spine that is strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that we say no and we stop and we do what is only pleasing in your sight. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.